This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Assalamu alaikum. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Ashhadu anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasuluhu amma ba'd. Brothers and sisters, I'm thankful to Allah the Almighty to have the privilege to address you this afternoon for a few moments. You know, I was telling Brother Farhan Abdulaziz that as he was speaking, so many of the references that he had from the Quran and the Hadith, I had the same exact references. So what I intend to do is just emphasize some of the things that he said. You cannot be a leader and an imam, a principal of a school, or a teacher, or a parent, without trying to make an assessment, how are we doing as an ummah, as the Muslims in America, as the youth? Are we doing the job? For real. Because you will never change until you admit where you are. I am convinced that we in America, the Muslims in America, and the Muslims around the world will not progress the way we could until we look at that model that was given to us 1400 years ago. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, خَرُ أُمَّتِ قَرْنِي ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونُهُمْ ثُمَّ لَذِينَ يَلُونُهُمْ. The best of my ummah is my generation, and then the generation that follows it, and then the generation that follows it. And every time we go back and study these companions, we ask ourselves the question, how were they able to do what they did? I'm going to spend a few moments on this very famous hadith of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam, narrated by Abdullah ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah. And he started the hadith by saying that the Prophet grabbed me by the shoulder. I'm going to grab him by the neck. Grabbed me by the shoulder and said, "Kun fadunya ka anaka garibun abiru sabilin." Be in this world, be in this dunya like a stranger or a traveler. First, I want to say something about Abdullah ibn Umar. He was young when he took shahada after his father. Is there any young man here 13 years old? You 13? Come on, come up here. What's your name?
Faz.
Faz. 13 years old, look at him. Come walk with me. He will never forget this in his life. Imam Siraj took me by the hand and embarrassed me in front of the ignorant crowd. 13 years old. during one of the most significant battles in the annals of history, the Battle of Uhud. And there were 8 young men ready to fight on the side of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and 2 of them, Abdullah ibn Umar and Usama bin Zayd, 13 years old, ready to fight, ready to give their lives. And the Prophet told them to go home. Go home. May Allah bless you. What made Abdullah ibn Umar, 13 years old, ready to give his life for the cause of Islam? They said Abdullah ibn Umar, more than any companion, watched every step of the Messenger of Allah, and whatever the Prophet did, he did it. If the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, was on his camel and the Prophet's camel turned around twice, Abdullah Umar made his camel turn around twice. And he followed the Prophet and he did everything that he said. Fast forward. I was with my beloved brother Imam Qasim Khan in Houston, Texas, not too long ago. And I reminded him that Abdullah ibn Umar became a scholar in Islam. And he said he was at the Kaaba. And there was a man from Yemen carrying his mother on his back going around the Kaaba. And you know the distance around the Kaaba can be long depending upon where you are. Hundreds of meters. And then he went to Abdullah and said, Abdullah, I have now carried my mother more than she carried me. Have I paid my debt back to my mother? Abdullah said, no. You haven't even repaid one contraption. One contraction of your mother. You, my young brothers and sisters, have no idea how blessed you are. How many of you go to a full-time Muslim school? Raise your hand. Look around. Full-time Muslim school. Do you know the sacrifices your parents made for you to go to a full-time Muslim school? Not only that, I tell you something better. I was at a Muslim school fundraiser last week and asked the teachers how much they made salary. And the average one of them made something like $20,000. That's on the high end in many Muslim schools in America. So, that's nice. But you know what? Many of them qualified to teach in the public school, and the average school salary of a public school teacher in New York City is $75,000. But they take $20,000 to teach in a Muslim school. So I'm asking the question, what is the state of the ummah? What is the state of our ummah? How are we doing as an ummah in America, in Maryland, and in D.C., and in New York City, and Philadelphia, and Jersey? And how are we doing? I am happy to see you come to the convention and take notes and learn and get closer to Allah. I am. But I'm concerned with all the others out there who are Muslims but are not here or in the masjid. And I ask myself the question, Siraj, are you doing the best that you can do? Are you doing the best that you can do? Are you doing the best that you can do? And I came to a conclusion, Qasim. I believe that Allah wants us to have a feeling. Farhan asked you after he gave you salams, how do you feel? Don't underestimate what he asked you. I believe Allah wants us to feel a certain way. And I'm going to try to do it in a couple of minutes. Abdullah ibn Handla, one of the companions of the Prophet, alayhi salat wa salam, was a very close friend of Abu Bakr. And Abu Bakr said to him, Assalamu alaikum, kaifa anta ya Handla? How you doing, Handla? Qala nafaka Handla. Handla said, I have become a munafiq. I have become a hypocrite. Do you feel that you become a hypocrite? Or you feel good? You feel, I got this. I'm good. My religion is good. I come to the convention. I'm good. I make my salat. I'm good. I give zakat. I'm good. I fast in Ramadan. I'm good. Or do you feel nervous? A man, his name is Ibn Abi Mulaika, never met the messenger of Allah, alayhi salat wa salam, but met companions. And he said, I have met 30 companions of the messenger of Allah. فَكُلُّهُمْ يُخَافُ نِفَاقْ عَلَى نَفْسِهِ. And every one of them was fearful of hypocrisy on themselves. So wait a minute. You're telling me that some of the most prominent companions were afraid of hypocrisy? Yes. Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah said, Ya ibadi kullukum dalun illa man hadaytu fastahduni ahdikum. Oh my slaves, every one of you, every one of you misguided unless I guide you. Therefore, ask me and I will guide you. So I'm asking myself, how does Allah want us to feel? I've come to the conclusion that Allah wants us to feel nervous, anxious, scared. What you talking about, Imam Siraj? We heard the Sheikh said that there shall be no fear, nor shall you grieve. We heard him. We heard what he said, my beloved Sheikh. That's when Allah give us the good news. But right now, I think that Allah wants us to be nervous. Let me give you evidence. When Abu Bakr asked Handala, why are you saying that? You know Handala? You know what his nickname is? Anybody know the nickname of Handala? Galisul Mulaika. Galisul Mulaika. Washed by the angels. You know why he was given that nickname? He was home with his wife and heard about the Uhud and left his home before he can make ghusl. And Handala died in the battle of Uhud. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, I saw the angels washing him, giving him a full ghusl. Handala gave us the key. I got it now. I got it. I got it. I got it. So it's so clear to me. I got it. Listen to what Handala said, radiallahu anhu, to Abu Bakr. He says that when we are with the messenger of Allah, yudhakiruna bil jannah wa nar ka'anna ra'ya ayn. That's it. That's it. That's it. And when we are with the messenger of Allah, he reminds us of the Jannah and the Nar as if we are seeing it. And Abu Bakr said, we feel the same thing. So what did they do? They went to the messenger of Allah alayhi salat wa salam. And the Prophet said, why you feel that you're a hypocrite? And when Handala explained to him, he said, Handala, if you remembered Allah the same way you do in my presence, the angels would shake your hand in your beds or on your roads. Ya Handala, sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin wa sa'atin. There is a time for this, and there's a time for that. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that. There's a time for this, and there's a time for that. But I got it. If you will permit me, can I take about 3 minutes to make you scared? Can I frighten you? Would you allow me? Would you? Would you? Would you? No? Say yes. Say yes, Imam. Let me take a few minutes to frighten you. And why I'm going to do this? Because I love you. What I'm going to do now, I'm letting you know, I'm going to frighten you. Probably your heart going to start beating real fast. You're going to get nervous. You're going to start sweating. Sheikh Farhan already said it. Let me just reiterate it a little bit. I was at the University of Ohio, and I had lunch with the Muslim students. And I asked them this question. What motivates you the most? Is it the fear of Allah or the love of Allah? And the sister said, no, it's the love of Allah. I'm inspired by the love of Allah. I said, yeah, I am too. But really, really, for me, it's being scared of Allah, being afraid of Him.
Well, what are you? You're not supposed to be afraid of God. You're supposed to love Him.
Yeah? For real? Let's see what the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam. Let's see what the Christians say from their own book. They say that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Now, when we're talking about fear, we're not talking about taqwa. We're talking about khawf. We're talking about being scared. And the Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said, I am more afraid of Allah, not taqwa. I have more fear of Allah than all of you, and I have the most God consciousness. Both of them. And what's happening is that people are forgetting the fear of Allah. I give you a little sample. Now, brothers and sisters, I don't know, do your parents ever beat you? They beat you? You probably never got beat in your life, right? You have? MashaAllah. My mother was a giant. And Imam Qasim will tell you that in our community, African-American community, I don't know about the other communities, but in the African-American communities, at some point, our mothers and fathers didn't have to beat us. They just look at us. And do you have it in that you never saw that, right? My mother would look at me, and you're talking about the sun being a mile away, sweating, I would be sweating with my mother looking at me. Now, you know what? I said, my mother is a big woman, but it wasn't until I got to be an old man that I realized that my mother is only 5 feet tall. I'm serious. I said, what? What? But you know, when you're a young kid and she get that belt, man. Now, she didn't beat me often, but she beat me enough that I was scared. And one thing my mother did, I was telling her the other day, I'm blessed to still alive, alhamdulillah. I was reminding her the other day what she used to do to me. You know, it took me a while to figure it out. She says, go get that belt. I'm going to beat you. And go in your room and wait till I get there. I get the belt. I go in my room. And I'm waiting for my mama all day long. Now, she knows she ain't coming. But I think she's coming. And I'm nervous. It's like she beat me a million times. But now, I want to take a moment first to say what Allah said in Quran. And you better listen to that Quran. اِعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ شَدِيدُ الْإِقَابِ وَأَنَّ اللَّهَ غَفُورُ الرَّحِيمُ. You better know that Allah is strong in punishing. On the one hand, but on the other hand, he's forgiving and merciful. What do you mean? One quick example, because there's no time. On Yom al-Qiyamah, kafirs, those who reject Allah, won't be the size we are now. How big will they be? The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, gave an example. He said the tooth of a kafir on the day of judgment will be the size of Mount Uhud. And the distance between the shoulders of a kafir on Yom al-Qiyamah is a distance of 3 days. Now, you see, why? Why? Why does Allah make the kafir so big? Have you ever had a root canal? You don't know what a root canal is, do you? A root canal, when they take out your nerves, the reason that you feel pain is because you got nerves. If you take out the nerves, you don't feel pain. I read this ayah from Quran. وَمَا مِن دَابَّةٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ رِزْقُهَا. There is not an animal that Allah has taken upon himself to give it sustenance. I'll give you one example. What's the biggest animal that we know? The blue whale. The blue whale, 100 feet long. Weighing 200 tons. With a tongue the size of an automobile and the heart the size, the tongue the size of an elephant and the heart the size of an automobile. Now Allah must feed his creatures. So the blue whale, what does Allah feed it? It feeds them krill-like animals, like shrimp-like. And how many krill do they eat? 40 million krill a day. How much does it weigh? Four tons. Why is that important? That's important because even in the hellfire, people will be so hungry and thirsty, Allah going to feed them. Why so big? Two reasons I give you. Number one, لَيْسَ لَهُ تَعَامٌ إِلَّا مِنْ دَرِيعٍ. The food of the people of the hellfire is so bitter that just a little bit sent down on the earth will spoil everything on the earth. Horrible taste and hot boiling water. And yet, despite of eating all of that food, poisonous food and the hot flaming water, that they will still want more. They can't fast in the hellfire. Number two, bad enough you mentioned, Farhan, being touching the fire in this life. Fire in the hellfire 70 times more. And then Allah will punish and burn the kafir into the fire until all the skin is gone. And then he put new skin and burn it again, and new skin, and burn it again, and new skin, and burn it again. خالدين فيها. What country has the highest life expectancy? Let me tell you, Monaco. You know what the life expectancy of Monaco is? Like 90 years, life expectancy. Farhan mentioned it again, I told you. He mentioned it again. You ever stand in line? You ever stand in line to go on your plane or stand in line to go to a supermarket or standing in line? Well, what about Yom Kiyamah? Standing. What do you think is going to happen on the day of judgment? You're going to be chilling in the Hilton?
I'm going to wait till Allah judge me. Let me go sit in the Hilton.
No. No. 50,000 years. And for you men and brothers, sister, excuse me for a second. You men. Ask you a question. How many of you like and are attracted to women? Raise your hand. Don't be going like this. You like women? Huh? Attracted? The younger ones, okay, I give you a pass. But for you, brother, who didn't raise your hand, I'm going to talk to you later after this meeting.
There is a natural inclination of men and women, but be careful because this world is so messed up. The dunya is so messed up, so turned around that men are as preoccupied. Oh, a woman, a woman, a woman, a woman, a woman. Oh, let me get on my iPad. Let me get on the computer. A woman, oh, there's a woman. Oh, there's a woman, a woman. Oh, woman, woman, woman. Oh, there's a woman. Look at that. Oh, look at that. Hey, look at that.
Are you serious? You like naked women? Huh? You like naked women? Okay, guess what? On Yom Kiyamah, the women will be naked. There. Yeah. The Prophet, peace and blessing be upon him, said that we're going to be resurrected naked. And Aisha said, Ya Rasulullah, won't people be looking at each other? He said, no, the affair is too much on that day. You waiting 50,000 years standing there waiting to be judged, sweating.
The good news is that we're still alive. Kun fi dunya ka annaka gharibun abiru sabilin. Be in the world as a stranger.
Brothers and sisters, this world, this whole world is a deception. It is. It's meant to get you. Try to get you to go to the club. Try to get you to go to the bar. Try to get you to go to the party. You want to hang out with your friends. You want to be like your friends.
And then, why we can't go to the club? Why we can't go to the prom? Why we can't do what they do? Why we can't dance with the girls? Why we can't do what they do?
Because you have guidance. You have Quran. You have Sunnah. But the good news for the believer, to see it. I can see it. Guess what? There's no ugly people in Jannah. For real. Everybody's beautiful and getting more beautiful every week. Can you imagine for an eternal time getting more and more beautiful, eating and drinking? A brother told me Allah is the truth. Allah, a brother told me, Imam Siraj, if Allah blessed me to go to Jannah, all I want to do is smoke me some weed.
Yeah, what? You serious?
Yeah, man, smoke me some weed. So I'm not going to smoke weed now so that at Jannah I can smoke me some weed. He ain't that far off. Because you can't drink wine now, but we'll drink in Yom Kiyamah.
You want wine? Okay. That's what we want. You get wine, but just wait, all right?
So brothers and sisters, I conclude. We have to go. I leave you with this. I leave you with this. You can't do it in a 10-minute talk or 15-minute talk. But I would advise each one of us to read the hellfire, the verses of hellfire. Study it. And the virtues of Al-Jannah. Study it. Last thing I'm going to do, I'm going to make a horrible plug. How many of you know that I have 9 children? I brought 2 of them here, alhamdulillah. One of them, Sapana. It was Sadaka, Basma, Sharifa, Siraj ibn Hudra, and Sapana. This girl, Sapana, she wrote a magnificent book called Growing, I Found Myself in Egypt. She's here. I know this is a plug, it's a commercial. I never did this before. But these children of mine sacrifice so that their father can go all over the world and do what he does. It is a magnificent book. I read it on my way to Australia about a young African-American Muslim girl growing up in America and then living in Egypt. When she got married 8 years ago, her and her husband got married 12 o'clock in the afternoon that night, a one-way ticket to Egypt, and was living in Egypt. My granddaughter was born in Egypt. And then after the revolution, I asked them to come home. She wrote this magnificent book. Please get it. If you go to booth number 504, even if you don't have the money, tell her I said give it to you and you'll mail her the money. And also, there are books here. If anybody wants them, I recommend you get it. May Allah bless you and forgive me for my shameful plug. But that's my daughter, and I love her. I can't help it. Assalamu alaikum.